You got nervous when I started walking around. I get it. Have a parade. Well, I've been told that I have too many books. I think it's a lie. I don't know what the problem is. But I finally figured out a way to not have so many. I bring them out in seasons. So for Christmas, part of our decorating is me pulling a stack of about this big of books out for my kids to read all through Christmas. And the favorite this year is the I Spy Christmas book. So for the past few weeks, we've been searching through this book to find sleigh bells and Santa on the sleigh and a shining star on all these pages. And my kids have gotten really good at it. Open the page, it's there. Well, of course, you've been looking at it for the past 3 weeks. Good job. And if you're not familiar with the I Spy books, it's a big book that has all these trinkets on it. And it's a picture of this, and they give you some things that you're supposed to find amid all these trinkets. And the hardest part is, they're right in front of your face. I mean, it's not like it's hiding. It's really clearly there, but there's just so much stuff on the page, or all the colors are kind of the same, that it's really hard to find something until it's just obvious right there in front of you. Our scripture today is about that search. It's about knowing what to look for and the challenge of trying to find it and the focus that it takes and the joy when you go, ah, there it is. What's next? We are celebrating Epiphany today. And Epiphany means, you know, that sudden realization, that moment of insight when everything that's kind of murky and muddy finally becomes clear. And when we do it as Christian talk, we're talking about the ways that God has come clear. That God is not a concept, an unmoved mover somewhere out there, but that God has chosen to come and into our history, into a point in time that we can see God and know God. That it goes from murky, omnipresent to man present with us. And we celebrate the fact that God shows up in ways that we can understand. Matthew writes about some really interesting people, of how that moment got clear. So our story today is about the wise guys, or potentially women, because that's possible, who are most likely Zoroastrians. Different religion completely, but it shows the wideness of the search for meaning, the search for hope, because just like them, we have things and they have things in their lives that they were looking for a savior from. Be it oppression in their religious circles, or oppression in their government leadership, be it their own failings and frailties, they're always searching. And in the moment that they see the star, they know that this promise has been fulfilled. They know that there is something worth searching for. And we tend to think that they got up, packed up their things, and took a few months to travel. But it was more like years. See, this is not a quick jaunt. They're from somewhere near India, and Jerusalem is at least 2,200 miles away. Walking. And so here they are, seeing this star, studying the star, taking time to find where it's at. And they go home and pack their things. And they prepare for who knows how long to where this star is. The thrill of this search is what motivates them. But keep in mind, on this journey, it's not like it's a short one. They have to pack and prepare for this unknown period of time. And they have to travel on foot for an unknown period of time, through field and fountain, moor and mountain, following this star, which means they're traveling at night, in the dark. Because unlike us, the stars are only out when people are sleeping. So imagine what that means for picking up provisions. Imagine the people that they catch along the path. Imagine the work they have to do going through the desert, which gets cold at night, to find this place. This is at least a year out of their life, not knowing exactly what they'll find when they get there. And so they finally get to a place close to where the star looks like it's stopped, and they go to Jerusalem because kings are born in palaces, and they walk up to Herod, And they asked, so where is the born king of the Jews? And the currently appointed king of the Jews gets all his feathers in a ruffle. Because Herod, history tells us, will do anything to stay in power. And so he begins plotting and planning the ways to stay in power and the ways that this born king of the Jews is threatening him. And so together with his priests and the scribes and all the people who are supposed to know the Messiah is coming, they search the scriptures and find Micah. And it says, to you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not the least, because to you will be born a Savior. And so the three wise men set out with this, don't forget to tell me where he is so that I can bow to him. That's all lies, people. And they head off and follow the last 6 miles of their trek to where the star finally stops. And there is much rejoicing. This is even before they walk in and bow down before the kid. There is much rejoicing when they found what they've been searching for. And they walk into the place where Jesus and his family had started their new life together in Bethlehem. And they walk before him and they bow before a toddler who probably pulls on their beards, gets something sticky in their hair. And they pause in awe at this thing that they have searched so hard for. The promise of God fulfilled in a toddler's body. And they lay before him gold and frankincense and myrrh, those gifts that you bestow on royalty, the people who mostly deserve that kind of honor. And then they go back. They travel the thousands of miles back to their own homeland, not ever really seeing the fulfillment of the promise, what that promise is going to do as he ages, but just knowing that in that child, God has come near. Their journey was long, and it was exhausting, and it was worth every step, every callus, every sandstorm, every spitting camel that they came across. We certainly don't get the same results when we go searching, do we? I mean, our searching's a little different. We're not packing our things and traveling on foot 2,000 miles through Arctic tundra to find the Savior. Our searching is usually more whispered, are you there, God? Do you hear me? Do you care? And our searching is a little more, it's a little more based on what we see. That when someone has come through a disease and they've been healed, we go, oh, God was there. Or in this year of 2020, when hindsight, we can look back and see clearly. I'm convinced that we miss the same dedication that the three wise men had. That it's missing in our lives. Like Herod, maybe we've forgotten to look up at the stars or expect that God is coming. Or with all of our gifts and our talents that we have to offer, we choose instead to hold back a little bit. That we're so busy with our lives that it's hard to look around and imagine that God could be in the places where we don't expect God to be. Because God's at church, right? And I think we sometimes have histories that keep us from searching for God. Because if we find God, or if God finds us, what is God going to see? And is God going to be mad? Or we have a level of comfort that we like, that following after God would mean giving up some of the things we're comfortable with, and I'm not ready to pack those things away yet. Or we have despair that breeds doubt, that almost makes it impossible to see God in our world. But that's why we worship. For one blip of time every week, we practice taking our focus off ourselves and the things that we carry and the things that we're worried about and put it instead on God. That we bend our knee and we focus on who God is in our lives. And we breathe and we pray and we sing. We dip our fingers in life-giving water and remember the promises that God made to us when we were first washed. And we read from the book that cradles Christ for us, that holds Christ out for us to see. And we feast on this meal that strengthens our bond with God. Dear people, what you're looking for is in plain sight right in front of you. God meets you here when you bend your knee and bow your head. God washes you here and puts the past in the past and opens doors for a new future. God feeds you here with bread and with wine or grape juice, because it's not about what we hold in our hands, but the promise that we put our faith in. And God meets you outside these walls too. It's harder search to find God out there. But because you've seen God here, because God has fed you here, because you've breathed God's presence here, you can see God out there too. And what you're looking for is in plain sight. Hope and love and strength, compassion and peace, the challenge to live a different life, and faith. Because Christ is the light for all people. So may you find God wherever you search, wherever your path has taken you, wherever you expect and don't expect God to be. For God in Christ is waiting to be found. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand. We'll join together in As with Gladness, Men of Old.